So, Vicky, a few episodes back in Air Check, you picked an album by the band Shearwater as one of your favorite new releases of late. And in the spirit of the membership drive, we're going to be looking back at some of the great interviews and performances that we've done right here in KRCC at the studios here at 912 North Weber. And we thought we'd share this conversation that you had with Shearwater frontman Jonathan Myberg. What was that about? How did it go?
That was such a special day that Jonathan Myberg, taking time out from a show he had done in Denver and on his way, actually, I think, back home to Texas. And Jonathan Myberg is such an intelligent man. He holds a master's degree in geography with a special focus on ornithology. So birds are his thing.
He's a bird man.
Shearwater is a gathering of seabirds, I believe. And he was just kind enough to come sit down, talk about music. We talked about birds. You know, he's this very thoughtful man who happens to be in possession of one of the most amazing voices that you'll hear in, you know, quote unquote, rock and roll. He goes way back with Acreville River with Will Sheff. Those two actually form Shearwater together to showcase quieter songs. And then Jonathan just took off with that. So just an interesting man who is multi-talented. And he was kind enough to endure my questions, my many questions.
All right, let's take a listen to that interview with Jonathan Myberg of Shearwater.
Jonathan, thank you so very much for doing this.
Hi, Vicky. It's great to be here.
You know, we love your music so much here at KRCC. Have to run out to buy anything. It was already living here in a big way. And this latest release, Fellow Travelers, I was telling you off mic that I started my morning this morning very early with coffee and a dog by my side. And this amazing essay, this road log that you wrote that's in the booklet that goes with Fellow Travelers, the liner notes. Is this what you do in your spare time, just write these amazing essays?
I've done a lot more writing this last year, actually, and it's something I really enjoy. Do you want me to read a little bit of this?
I would love it.
Okay, I'll just start with the very first. It's sort of divided into little vignettes because the idea was that I wanted to present sort of a picture of touring life, because the record is a set of songs by bands that we've toured with over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also got those bands to participate in the record. Although the rule was they couldn't play on their own song. So it was kind of a team effort to make this record. And I wanted to talk about not the songs, the recording process so much as just a look back at 10 years of being on the road.
Please.
So here's how it begins. It goes, there's a stretch of Texas where it's always night, as far as I know. It's somewhere between Ozona and Van Horn along Interstate 10. And though I've driven through dozens of times, I've never seen it in the daylight. We're always heading west from Austin at the start of a tour, or more rarely, limping home from Phoenix or Tucson at the end. Either way, by the time we get there, it's dark. Just on the edge of this phantom zone, there's a ruin of an old schoolhouse in Kent, Texas, where we stop to stretch our legs. It's a beautiful little spot. The sun's always rising or setting there, and there's Indian paintbrush growing among broken bottles and some mostly good-natured graffiti. Black-throated sparrows buzz and squeak in the creosote bushes, whose tiny leaves and yellow flowers, crushed between your index finger and thumb, smell like rain. The gas station on the other side of the overpass doesn't look open, but it sometimes is. They took the outside door off the men's room a long time ago in exchange for never cleaning it. Ever.
Look, I'm doing the same thing. I got to that part, and I'm like, ever. But what a beautiful picture that paints, and what I got from that reading this is the trials, the tribulations, the great beauty of it, the solidarity with your band, I'm imagining the kinds of bumps that you hit with each other living in such close quarters, because it's not a chartered jet that you're doing this in, obviously.
No.
You know, we're talking, as you said, dirty socks and flat tires and
we had one of the most remarkable drives we've ever had on a tour just 2 days ago. We're driving from Seattle towards Boise, which is about 10 hours. It's not bad, but we ended up in the snow going over the Mount Baker Snoqualmie National Forest outside Seattle.
Mm.
We had to put chains in the vans. We had to buy chains. And we went, it was like 20 miles an hour and snowing. These huge mounds of snow everywhere. And basically, by the time we got to Boise, it was almost 7 in the morning, and we had to play in Salt Lake that night. So we got into the hotel, and there were people leaving the hotel to start their day, and we're like just sort of staggering in. And we all got into bed, and then an hour later, the fire alarm went off in the hotel.
Oh, no.
When you fell on the rocks, out of bend in the river, with the blood from your nose, running hard on your fingers.
This voice that you have, this beautiful, soaring voice, was that something you realized, as a little guy? Did your voice find you? Did you find it? Is this a trained kind of thing, singing in church or chapels? Or
yeah, I mean, I did. I grew up singing in church choirs in the Episcopal Church, and though I don't, don't go to church anymore, but I was lucky enough to work with a couple of really great choir directors who had great taste in music and learned a lot of Renaissance music and Baroque stuff and that kind of thing. So that definitely informed the way that I sang. Although a lot of trying to learn to use that voice in the band has been unlearning many of the things that I was taught. Because that, a voice made for choir is not necessarily very good for a rock band.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow in the world between what you think of as a normal kind of rock vocalist and that more formal training, I've been trying to stake out my own position.
I have to ask you this, with your great knowledge of and love of birds, all this traveling that you do,
yeah,
are you able to put time aside to go ahead and observe, journal, identify? Is that something that
no is the short answer.
There
are little moments. Just now while we were just up, off Academy Boulevard, I was watching these. We were sitting at a stoplight, and I was watching these two ravens just playing on the wind. They're just having a good time. And little moments like that, being able to see them and see them for what they are, it's a blessing by itself. And I think that having studied birds and being so involved in the natural world, it just makes your everyday life richer, even if you're not able to spend concentrated time on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, 2 years ago, I went back down to the Falklands and spent about 6 weeks down there working on a new study that we're just now finishing up, writing up 2 years later. But that was in the middle of the touring season for Animal Joy. So we played 200 shows that year. And in the middle of it, I went down to the Falklands.
Great record, by the way.
Oh, thank you. But it was funny because actually there's a recording from the Falklands that turns up in Fellow Travelers. In the David Thomas Broughton song, Ambiguity, you can hear at the end of the song, there's a line where the last line of the song is, I really shouldn't say it, but I just love what the water does. And then you realize that as you've been listening to the song, these sounds have been slowly creeping up. And what that is, it's a recording I made on an island called Steeple Jason, way off to the northwest of the Falklands. And there's a beautiful little gully on that island where the waves are washing into it, and you can hear little Antarctic sort of thrush-like birds called Cynclodes sort of twittering in the background and geese. And you can't hear them, but there were penguins sitting around there at the time. And it takes you, I wanted to bring you into that place with me for a minute because it's such a special place and one that very few people have, ever been to.
Fellow Travelers is such an amazing record, and it really opens up in unexpected ways. And, I've heard the term covers record, and that's such a shallow description of it because it's not that. Yes, you're doing songs.
Yeah, I don't really like covers records.
Right.
Very much, usually.
And this is a whole different animal.
What we wanted to do is make a record that was just like another, a new Shearwater record that just happened to be composed of songs by other people. So I wanted to give it an arc in the way that our records usually have kind of an arc to them, mm-hmm. and involve you in a world. And some of the songs, a couple of them we did fairly straight up covers that, in the tradition of like a painter's study, like our cover of the Folk Implosion song Natural One, I served up almost note for note. I was really nervous because I sent it to Lou Barlow just to see what he would think about it, because we toured with him with Dinosaur Jr., but he liked it, and I felt great about that. But that's probably the most straight-up cover of the bunch. Like, some of the other ones are nearly unrecognizable. The Coldplay song is changed almost entirely. The St. Vincent song, I was proud of that one because...
Oh, Cheerleader, yeah.
Well, it's a great song, but I wanted to take like the complete opposite approach to what she does because her approach is so sort of rigid and mechanical, and I tried to imagine it if it had been on like Tonight's the Night or something, you know, like a very Neil Young kind of approach.
New ears for that one, and working with Sharon Van Etten, and you know, you say sweet things about her.
Oh, Sharon's the best. She's the real thing. I worked on her new record a couple months ago in New York, which I think comes out in a few months. I got to go in and play, and she was working on it at Electric Lady Studios in New York, which is the one that Jimi Hendrix built. You know, it's still there, that you can see all the paintings he had commissioned on the walls, which are like what you would expect, like pyramids and aliens and things like that. It's great. And I got to play the Wurlitzer that used to live at, it's an electric piano. It used to live at Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Alabama. So
nice.
It's like the electric piano that Spooner Oldham played on the Aretha Franklin records, you know, like
it's
the original.
It's the one we know.
Yeah, it's
love.
The one that you know. Yeah, that one. It was a treat to play. A little wonky after all these years, but it spoke pretty well.
Oh, fantastic. You know, Jonathan, I could keep you here all day, really and truly. You're such an interesting man. It's such a great band. You make being a DJ just pure pleasure, and I can't thank you enough.
Thank you so much, Vicky.
You bet. Thank you, Jonathan.
That was Vicky Gregor speaking with Jonathan Myberg of the band Shearwater from an interview back in 2014. You're listening to Aircheck on KRCC. Stay with us.
Ooh, you whistle down the-